Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about Turkey. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey for a long period of time, and we've had increasing concerns about the rising levels of inflation. And in today's video, I want to talk about a variety of issues, including the current account deficit, which is growing and becoming a major problem for Turkey, the problems that BOTAŞ is having with regards to the prices it's having to pay for gas in the international markets. We'll have another look at what's happening with inflation and what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months. I'll give you an update on house sales and what's happening with regards to international buyers. And then I'll give you my view as to what's likely to happen over the course of the rest of 2022 and what the concerns are right now with regards to how Turkey is going to fund its ongoing losses. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to both Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And long-time followers of the channel will know that I like to include an interesting piece of art behind me. As you can see here, the man on stilts, which is everybody's favourite. And I'm delighted to tell you that today's video is brought to you in conjunction with Masterworks, but more on that later. A country's current account records the difference between the imports and the exports of that particular nation. So in very simple terms, this is very similar to your checking account. If you receive more money in than you spend, then your checking account balance will grow and you'll have a positive balance. But if you spend more than you're earning, then you'll run a deficit and you'll go into overdraft. And it's exactly the same for countries. The current account record for a country shows the difference between the cash that's received in for all of its exports and the cash that's paid out for all of its imports. So if a country either has a lot of raw materials such as oil and gas and gold and other precious metals that other countries around the world want, then it will have a high level of exports. And if the imports that it's buying in are less than those exports, then it will have a positive balance and it will have what's known as a current account surplus. But if you have the opposite situation, whereby you don't have a lot of raw materials that the rest of the world wants, and therefore you're having to buy in expensive items such as oil and gas, and you're selling less profitable items, then you may end up spending more on imports than you're receiving on your exports, and therefore you'll have what's known as a current account deficit. And Turkey, unfortunately, is a net importer. It does not have enough raw materials to be able to provide for its own population. So therefore, it has to buy in expensive commodities such as oil and natural gas to create electricity and to provide fuel for all of its population. And Turkey's main asset is its people. It is a low-cost economy in terms of labour. So it produces a lot of manufactured goods, but a lot of those manufactured goods rely upon imports of raw materials, which it then adds value to, and then exports all around the world. Now, the situation of being a net importer has been going on for quite some time for Turkey, so it's not a new problem. But what is a new problem is the cost of energy. So because it has to buy in all of the oil and natural gas, it is exposed to the prices in those markets. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, the price of oil and natural gas and a lot of other commodities that Turkey imports has gone up dramatically since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We've seen the price of oil rise to significantly above $100 per barrel, compared with the long-term average of around about $65. So there's been roughly a 50% increase in the cost of oil, and the cost of natural gas has increased even more than that. And around 40% of all of the electricity in Turkey is generated using natural gas, and most of that gas is supplied directly from Russia. So the market prices have risen, which is causing Turkey a problem. But in conjunction with that problem, they've also seen a major fall in the value of the Turkish lira. The valuation of the lira fell by 44% over the course of 2021, and we've seen a further fall of more than 10% at the start of 2022. So overall, the purchasing power of lira has fallen by more than 50% over the last 15 months or so. And so that's making the situation even worse when they're having to buy in huge amounts of energy. And this problem is now manifesting itself in a major current account deficit. The official figures for February have now been released and show that Turkey incurred a current account deficit of 5.15 billion in February alone. And that compares to a deficit of 2.5 billion for February 2021. So the deficit in the month is more than double what it was for this time last year. The deficit for the first 2 months of the year is now standing at 12.14 billion compared to 2.4 billion for the first 2 months of 2021. And the cumulative deficit for the last 12 months is now running at 21.85 billion. And the latest estimate from market commentators shows that they are predicting a full year deficit for 2022 of $38.25 billion. So what these figures tell us is that Turkey is currently running at a loss. Over the last 12 months, Turkey has lost $21.85 billion. And that figure will have to be funded. If you think about this in company terms, if a company loses $21.85 billion, it needs to be able to fund that from some form or other. And it's exactly the same for a country. Turkey needs to find $22 billion to pay its bills. And it can either do that by borrowing in the international markets or by trying to produce more cash from some of its reserves. Now, unfortunately, Turkey doesn't have sufficient reserves to be able to fund this. So it's going to have to turn to the debt markets. And when you look at what the forecast is for the rest of this year, we're looking at potentially another $17 billion of losses. But those forecasts are based on what's currently going on. We're expecting the war in Ukraine to end and for some semblance of normality to return to the global markets. However, if this war does not conclude at some point soon, we could see the current high levels of energy costs continuing for the rest of 2022. And if that happens, then the current account deficit that Turkey has right now could get even worse than the forecast that I'm just talking about. So we could be talking $50 billion. And that means at some point, Turkey will run out of options and will need some form of bailout. The inflation figures for March show that the consumer price index in Turkey has hit a 20-year high of 61.14%. Now, this figure is highly concerning, especially in view of the fact that the trade deficit, so the difference between imports and exports, widened 77% year on year in March to 8.24 billion. And included in that number was a 150% increase in the value of energy imports. Also of concern is the fact that consumer prices rose 5.4% in the month of March itself. So when you annualize a monthly rate of 5.4%, that would result in inflation of more than 100% on a 12-month basis. So highly concerning figures. Another major cause for concern is that producer prices rose 9.19% in March and are now running at 114.97% annually. And that's highly concerning for two reasons. Firstly, producer prices give you an indication of what future price rises are to come within the economy, because those prices will need to be passed on to the consumers as and when those products are finished and they hit the shelves. So if we've got 9% producer price inflation in the month of March, that means that that will need to be passed on to the consumers of Turkey at some point in the future. So that's indicating that inflation is likely to continue rising at a really high rate. But the other issue for Turkey here is that if producer prices have gone up 9% in the month, then that means that they will need to increase their export prices, and potentially that could start making Turkey uneconomic in the global markets and reduce its competitive edge, and therefore could have an impact on the value of its exports, which will make the current account deficit even worse. So inflation is a major concern for Turkey, but it's a concern for all of us, particularly when we're looking for places to invest our capital and to avoid that deterioration of value that inflation always brings. Now, I'm always looking to develop my investment portfolio and to move into exciting assets. And today's video is brought to you in conjunction with Masterworks.io. And Masterworks.io offers us all the opportunity to own a small share of major artworks. Now, art has been around for a long period of time, and Masterworks focuses in on contemporary art pieces. And between 1995 and 2021, the contemporary art market actually outperformed the S&P 500 by 164%, which is an incredible statistic. Now, the problem with art is that if you want to buy a household name, it is completely unaffordable for the vast majority of people. Unless you're a billionaire, you're not able to buy a Banksy or a Picasso. It's just too expensive. But in 2017, Masterworks was founded with the objective of giving access to everybody to the $1.7 trillion art market. The way that the Masterworks business model operates is that they buy a contemporary piece of art, and then they securitize that art. So what that means is that they sell shares in that particular asset. So that means that you can buy shares in an art piece that's been created by Banksy or Andy Warhol or Picasso. And when Masterworks sell that piece of art at some point in the future, then you will be given your percentage share of those sale proceeds. But you don't have to wait for the art to be sold. They also have a secondary market. So if there's an appreciation in the value of that piece of art, then that will mean that your shares would appreciate in value and therefore you could sell. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee of future profits and you need to do your own research. But it's an exciting opportunity to be able to buy a portion of an individual piece of art. And this is something that's proven to be very popular. And currently Masterworks has over 400,000 users on its platform. So if you're interested in investing in a slice of a multi-million dollar art piece, please have a look in the description below where you'll find the link to be able to skip the queue for Masterworks.io. BOTAŞ is the nationalized company in Turkey that handles the purchase and supply of all natural gas. And natural gas is really important in Turkey for two reasons. Firstly, it provides around 40% of all of the electricity in Turkey. And secondly, gas is piped directly to a lot of the households in Turkey for heating and cooking. So the purchase and supply of gas is absolutely essential to all industry in Turkey. All of those industries use electricity, but a lot of them also use that gas for industrial purposes. Now, the problem that BOTAŞ has is that it doesn't have its own gas reserves. It has to buy all of its gas from overseas, and the vast majority of that comes directly from Russia in the form of pipelines. So over the last few years, BOTAŞ has been running at a loss, firstly because the price of gas has risen in the international markets, and secondly, because the value of the Turkish lira has fallen, and therefore in domestic currency terms, it's having to pay more for those purchases. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll know that I recently reported on a variety of price increases that BOTAŞ have introduced in Turkey for both consumers and companies. On the 1st of November 2021, natural gas prices were increased 48% for all industrial users. 2 months later, on the 1st of January, gas prices were increased by an additional 50% for industrial users and 25% for residential users. And 3 months later, on the 1st of April, there was a further 50% increase for industrial users and a 35% increase for households. So those price increases represent a massive increase in the cost of gas for industrial users and households, significantly more than the 61% inflation rate that we're seeing in the year to March. So that's obviously bad news for the companies and the consumers in Turkey. But unfortunately, there's even worse news to come in terms of the position from Bottas's perspective. In 2021, Bottas needed 100 billion lira, which is the equivalent of $6.8 billion, from the Turkish treasury to cover its shortfall and losses that had been built up purchasing gas. Now, those losses came at a time when Bottas increased the price of gas for industry by 568% in lira terms. Now, 568% is obviously an astronomical increase. And the chairman of the Cement, Glass, Ceramics and Soil Products Exporters Association in Turkey recently stated that energy costs already create a serious burden on the exporter, and now they have reached a level that put the costs above some of our competitors in the European Union. This outlook puts us at risk of losing our competitiveness against EU companies and our hard-won export markets around the world. So the price increases of gas are putting major pressure on the competitiveness of companies within Turkey, but the problem is even worse for Bottas. The latest figures show that Bottas has kept its gas prices to consumers well below the $830 per 1,000 cubic metres which it has been paying in April. And it claims that the latest price increases on the 1st of April 2022 still provide households with an effective 70% subsidy. So what that statement tells us is that even with these astronomical increases in prices, Bottas is still taking a 70% loss on all of that gas that it's supplying directly to all of the consumers in Turkey. So we've got a massive problem here. Gas is absolutely essential to Turkey going forward because they need it for their electricity to heat the homes, for cooking and for industrial purposes. So there is no possibility of cutting back on the purchases of gas. The price of gas has increased dramatically because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the fact that Russia is the sole supplier to Turkey for a lot of this gas. Inflation is already running at 61% in Turkey, so any further increases in gas prices that are passed on to industrials and consumers is likely to push that level even higher. High levels of inflation will continue to put pressure on the economy and also put pressure on the valuation of the lira. And the bottom line for all of this is that the Turkish government, through its ownership of Bottas, is going to have to pick up the bill for all of this increase in prices because it just can't pass it on to any of the consumers any more than it is right now. So essentially, even though I'm talking about Bottas and talking about a company making big losses, the bottom line in all of this is that the Turkish government will have to pick up this bill and it's adding further pressure to that current account deficit that we talked about at the start of this video. One positive piece of news coming out of Turkey is that house sales have increased by 20.6% in the 12 months to March 2022. And what is really interesting when you look at those figures is what's going on with regards to foreign buyers of property. As you'll know if you follow the channel, Turkey has a scheme whereby a foreign purchaser of property is entitled to apply for citizenship if he or she spends more than $250,000 on a property. Sales to foreign buyers rose 31% in March, with Iranian citizens topping the list, followed by Iraqis and Russians. And it's reported that wealthy Russians are pouring money into the Turkish real estate market in an attempt to seek a safe haven for their capital. A real estate company in Istanbul is quoted as selling 7 to 8 units to Russians every single day, and that they are buying using cash, opening bank accounts in Turkey, or even bringing gold. And a really interesting point is that another real estate business is stating that a lot of transactions that he is seeing are being funded using crypto, which is obviously outside of all of the sanctions. And this could be a really interesting development if we start to see a lot more cash moving through the crypto markets rather than the traditional banking sector, which is obviously facing sanctions in Russia right now. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, as you'll know if you follow the channel, we've been talking about Turkey for a long time and the inflation levels have been going up month on month. And now we're above 60% and that is very concerning. But the bottom line here is that it's all about cash. It's not about inflation. It's all about how the country is going to fund what's going on right now. And the current account deficit is the big problem that we all need to be focusing in on. This is exactly the same as your household budget. If you start spending more than you're earning, then at some point you're going to hit the wall and you're going to have a problem. And that's exactly the same if you're a country. And Turkey has been building up this current account deficit over the last 12 months, and we're now above $20 billion. And the outlook for the rest of 2022 is bleak for Turkey. Its main purchases in the international markets are oil and gas. They are fundamental to running the country. They need to keep those supplies coming in order to keep all of the industry producing all of the goods and therefore exporting those goods and keeping some cash coming back into the country. So there is no way that Turkey can cut back on any of those purchases. And the big problem that it has right now is that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has forced up all of those prices by more than 50% in the last couple of months. And the prices are likely to stay at those levels whilst this conflict continues. And as it sits right now, we can't see any end in sight. Russia is continuing its bombardment of Mariupol and various other cities, and it's likely that this conflict will continue at least until the summer of 2022, but it could go on for the whole rest of this year. And all of that is really bad news for Turkey, because they're running out of cash and they don't have that many options left. I recently talked about sukuk bonds that were raised in the UAE, but we're talking $3 or $4 or $5 billion. Turkey is likely to run a loss of at least $40 billion in 2022, but it could be significantly more than that, because if the price of oil and gas stays high, we could be looking at 50, 60, 70 billion. So these numbers are astronomical. When we talk about IMF bailouts, we're talking about $3 or $4 or $5 billion. I recently posted a video on Pakistan, and they're looking at a $6 billion bailout from the IMF. A $6 billion bailout is not enough for Turkey. It will need tens of billions of dollars to get itself out of this situation. And the question is, where is it going to come from? How is it going to find that amount of money to keep the lights on within the country? And another major concern is that as these prices are passed through to consumers and the companies within Turkey, then that runs the risk of those companies becoming uneconomic in the international markets. We talked about it earlier in this video, but if Turkey gets to the point where its goods and services are more expensive than other countries within Europe, then it will start losing business. So that means that the exports will start to fall and the current account deficit could get even worse. So we could get to that situation where the imports are rising rapidly and exports start to deteriorate. And that would cause the current account deficit to get even wider. So there is a major problem that we're facing right now. And this doesn't even take into account what's going on with the Turkish lira. This just assumes that everything stays as is. If the Turkish lira starts to weaken further, then that will accelerate all of these problems. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, we believe that the Turkish Central Bank has been supporting the lira in the markets. That's why it's stabilized at around about 14.5 lira to $1. If those support mechanisms have to stop because the country doesn't have any more capital to be able to fund it, then we could see the lira falling even further, and that will make the situation even worse. So overall, what's happening right now is really bad news for Turkey. The increase in energy costs that it's had to sustain through the course of this war is really putting a massive pressure on the economy. And at some point, something will need to be done to sort out the situation. Either the country will have to get some bailout loans or more sukuk bonds, or something else dramatic will need to happen. Otherwise, Turkey is facing the very real prospect of running out of money, defaulting on its international debt, and to become one of the first G20 nations to go bankrupt. So I'll obviously keep you posted on any further news and developments that are coming out of Turkey or anything that's relevant to it as soon as I hear it. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. As you'll know, we've smashed through the 1,000 subscriber level, so we've ticked the box on that one. That is job done. Thank you to everybody who has supported this experiment. I really appreciate it. But we still need some more watch time. As it stands right now, we've got around about 2,400 hours built up, but we need to get to 4,000 hours. So we're about 1,600 hours short right now. I know it's a pain. I know these videos, you've seen them. There's only a limited supply on the channel. But if you have the time and the inclination, please jump onto the channel, watch one or two, or maybe even press the playlist and just let them all run through whilst you're doing some errands. And then we can get to that magical 4,000 hours. Apply for the monetization, and then we're at the point when we can start this experiment for real. And hopefully you will be producing some videos that you can make some money on and get this thing started. So thanks for helping. Thanks for supporting the Joe Blogs 2 initiative. And thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end.